He is a master of many trades. I'm serious. He's in boxing. He's in wrestling. He's in MMA. But he's an icon in the world of entertainment. I'm talking about J.R. Ross, of course. J.R., how's life treating you?
Good, man. I'm feeling good. I'm healthy. Sometimes we wake up at later stages of our life. And, I realized I couldn't. I told this to Brett Favre when he was a rookie in Atlanta with the Falcons. I was doing Falcon football early on and on NFL football for the radio network. I told Brett Favre, I says, as hard as you're trying, you'll never succeed in drinking all the Crown Royal in Atlanta.
Okay, good point. I'm glad you brought up that.
And I found out that even though you get later in life, you can make changes. I quit smoking several years ago. I've relaxed my booze intake. I hired a trainer because I didn't know how to work out like a normal human being. And so I made lifestyle changes. And for anybody that's wanting to make a lifestyle change, you say, I can't quit smoking. Well, then you're weak. Don't be weak. Everybody can make changes to help themselves. And I did late in the game, but by God, I did it, and I'm feeling a lot better for it.
You brought up Brett Favre having a couple of weeks ago, he admitted taking 15 Vicodins at a time, said he was hooked on pain pills. Yet, he couldn't smoke marijuana. Yeah, I bring this up because of the fact guys are still being suspended nowadays in the NFL for marijuana, which helps a lot with pain. Everybody's willing to admit that. When will the NFL come around? When will these major sports organizations come around? I think, does the WWE fine people for weed as well?
Yeah, they get fined, and I think largely because it's just illegal in most states. I think when our government, I saw this last week, the government saying, they're cracking down on what marijuana, what the classification it is. It's classified as a bigger issue than methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell's up with that? And here's the other thing I don't understand. And maybe somebody can explain it to me. How in God's name can you tell me that marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug? Unless you're in an eating contest. How in the hell is marijuana a performance-enhancing drug? I don't get it. I just don't get it. So, I tell you this. When I was in charge of the talent roster, I didn't. This wasn't public knowledge, and I didn't espouse this very often, if any. But I thought in my head, I'd a lot rather you guys go back to your hotel room and burn one and order some room service as to be at a strip bar drinking whiskey.
Good enough, J.R. Ross. I guess we're talking wrestling, MMA, and boxing as well. Of all the guys that you got to work with, as far as wrestlers go, I know there's thousands of wrestlers that you worked with in your entire career. But of the one guy that stood out, what guy made the most impact on you?
Oh, man, I guess Stone Cold Steve Austin, mm-hmm. because he came in as, he had a great run in WCW for Ted Turner. He ran a politically afoul of the upper management there. He got released in Future Endeavor by FedEx. he had a chip on his shoulder. I knew him from there. I was already in WCW, and I hired him to come in and, those in management thought, well, he's a very solid, fundamental guy. He would be like a six or seven hole hitter in a baseball lineup, mm-hmm. That kind of deal. Solid, help you out, he's not a cleanup hitter. He's not a top of the order guy. Well, I saw a little different side of him, and he didn't get to do a lot of promos in WCW, but he went to ECW and worked for Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman put a microphone in front of him, and the guy was gold. And I saw that, and so we hired him, and he took the ball, he ran with it, he wanted to be a star, and when he got over, he connected with the audience as fervently and as solidly as anybody I've ever seen, and they loved his anti-establishment demeanor, which is all real. He was simply being himself on the mic and not playing the role of a wrestler. He was him. He just turned the volume up. So he really revolutionized what WWE was doing. And a company that was in near bankruptcy in the mid-90s to where we went to become a public company with a $160 million IPO, a lot of that is, if you had to put one guy who's other than Vince McMahon who's responsible, Vince McMahon, of course, is number one, but you got to put Steve Austin in that conversation because he lit it up, man. He was selling out arenas everywhere. Our TV ratings were amazing. We had ratings on Monday Night Raw, quarter hour ratings, that exceeded the number on Monday Night Football at times.
Yep.
If there was a weak game on Monday Night, and we had a good Raw on Monday Night going head to head, we had quarter hour ratings of men 18 to 34 that were more than Monday Night Football. So Austin set the thing on fire. So I've always been very respectful of what he did for the business. He left the business with injuries and things, but now he's doing great on He's got a show called Stone Cold Challenge on the CMT. It's kind of a reality game show that kicks ass. And so he's doing great, but he was the guy that lit it up. And he brought the eyeballs to the TV for guys like The Rock, who I hired, Dwayne Johnson. A lot of people could see him, and then he got discovered there as well. So Austin was the catalyst to a lot of that success.
I remember The Rock, of course, being out here at the Cow Palace with Roy Shire and the gang. I used to scalp. I'll be honest. I was a ticket scalper at Roy Shire shows. I used to buy a bunch of good tickets and go out there and sell them, especially to the Battle Royal, which is now called the Royal Rumble and the WWE. That's how I sort of made my way through junior high school and high school to an extensive scalp. I just did, and I didn't hustle anybody, but I went out there and made the investment, and Shire would sell me the tickets a month before the event. I mean, he was cool. I mean, he used to wear a little gun on his waist. He was a really tough guy, a little tough, short guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a tough guy.
Yeah, he was.
And you were a young entrepreneur, and I'm sure you're no different than him. He was an entrepreneur.
Oh,
he just had that in common.
I understand that, but I didn't bury $500,000 in my backyard.
Yeah.
And then watch it rot.
Yeah. I heard that story. Yes, that's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Well, he was pocketing all that cash, and, you know, more power to him. But instead of – and here's what he did, though. This was a dumb move. He found the $500,000. It was all, like, withered, and it couldn't be used anymore. It was all, like, weathered out. So he called the IRS and said, well, you never paid tax money on that money, so we're going to get you on the tax. They got him on the penalty. Poor guy, he ended up getting raked a little bit there. We're talking about the late, great Roy Shire. We're talking with J.R. Ross. Of course, he's got a brand new app out called Fight, F-I-T-E. Check it out, F-I-T-E. It covers both boxing, MMA, professional wrestling. J.R. at his best, of course, bringing us the top names in all three sports. Now, this New Japan Wrestling with my buddy Josh Barnett. You ever listen to his answering machine message?
No, I haven't.
He says, maybe I'll return your call if you leave me a funny joke. You say something stupid. Or something. I mean, some crazy stuff like that. So he makes you say stuff like, hello, Josh Barnett, this is the guy from the 7-Eleven. I am calling you to tell you you're using too much cheese on your nachos. Okay, I mean, that's the only way you can get him to call you back. That's it. That's your broadcast partner.
He's a good partner, and he's really, for me, he has a great awareness and education on the Japanese culture. He wrestled for New Japan.
Yep.
His first pro match was the main event in the Tokyo Dome show. He's fought there, you know, as an MMA fighter, as you well know. So he's got a great feel for the game. And the New Japan style usually is a little different than the American style. So a little bit more physical. It's more athletic based than entertainment based. But I'm really enjoying working with Josh. He's a real good partner for this product, especially.
You know, I saw a movie a couple of weeks called Lucha Mexico. It's a new documentary out with a guy named Sounder. I think the strongman Johnson's in the movie as well. But I looked at Mexican wrestling and Japanese wrestling, and they sort of top American wrestling. I'm sorry, JR, but they just do. I mean, there's more entertainment there. There's a storyline there. You can sort of believe in the villains a little bit more. It's just they seem to be going all out. We're here. They're sort of like, take what we offer you and be happy.
They are very fundamentally sound, and they certainly, you know, they like the reality-based presentation. And when you see two guys knocking the hell out of each other for real, and that happens in every match with those people,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to roll your eyes and say, oh, my God, this is horrible acting. Because, I think that the American product in general, there's a lot of American product, not just WWE by any stretch, that could be better served if they were more of an athletic presentation and a legitimate sports presentation as much as they can within the genre as to be all, quote-unquote, entertainers. And I know one thing. When I manage wrestlers, wrestlers had rather be managed like athletes and be considered as athletes than entertainers. It's just the way that it is. And I think that that's where the big money lies in the future, is getting back to more fundamental soundness and laying your stuff in, you know, it's not ballet. And if you're a bodybuilder and you don't like to get bruised, then you might not be in the right business.
Okay, talk to me about Mark Cuban. What's he like?
Oh, he's awesome, man. He's brilliant. He's a, you know, I've had the privilege of working with some very unique visionaries, very successful visionaries. I worked for Ted Turner,
mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon, mm-hmm. and Mark Cuban now, and he's a fascinating guy to talk with. He's got amazing vision, and it's funny that you don't think, well, he's got a secret. He's got something that he's got that the rest of us don't have. And what he has is that he has an abundance of logic. He just approaches things without overthinking stuff. And he's a hell of a businessman. He's a fun guy. He's the kind of guy that you could really have a great time having a few beers with and watching a ball game.
Got about 2.5 minutes left. We're with J.R. Ross, of course, the iconic figure both in the world at broadcaster. In the world of broadcasting, he's an icon. There's just no doubt about it. Now, you got the podcast going. The New Japan Wrestling, when does that air?
It airs Friday nights on Access TV at 9, 8 Central. Access TV is formerly HDNet. It's a good old Mark Cuban's network, and we're having a blast doing it.
Okay. One more thing before I let you go, and I only got about a minute and a half here. What about this suit being filed against the WWE by wrestlers that have been injured in the past, like they have brain damage and things like that? You think that has merit? I do.
I'm not sure. I haven't. I'm a little dubious of it, to be honest with you. And so I'm not declaring yay or nay because I haven't really studied it. I just think that there's a lot of those guys that are they were very lived questionable lifestyles back in the day. I don't know how you could be in the wrestling business and not think that concussions were not a part of it.
But Chris Benoit didn't live a crazy lifestyle. I mean, he was married and basically a loner in the whole nine yards, and look what he did.
Yeah, he had apparently a lot of undiagnosed concussions early in his career. I hired him at WWE. I loved the guy. I really did, and that's hard to say about a guy that murders his family and commits suicide, but the guy that did that wasn't the guy I hired. He melted down and But I don't know. When you see these group suits and see all the guys jumping in, sometimes you think, and it's obvious, natural, maybe it's a money grab. Maybe they need a payday. I don't know, man. Hey, look, if it gets to the courts, it'll all be adjudicated, and the best man will win.
The app is called FITE. That's Fight app. Of course, J.R. Ross is the host there, and, of course, that is rocking. How many hits you get in a week on that one?
About 500,000 a week downloads on our show, on the Ross Report. It's been really well received, and I've been on the air over a little over 2 years with it. So I think we did our 130th show this week.
You know, I want to congratulate you on your continued success. You should end up in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, no doubt about it. All the best to you, JR. Come back and visit us sometime on Sports Byline.
I will, buddy. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
The great JR Ross on Sports Byline.